drop goal!
It's over! They've done it! Evans has done it!
Welcome to a very special episode of Two Woods, Four Quarters, a Harlequins podcast. Our big summer kickoff episode, our live show from the Chris Robshaw Bar, featuring guests Laurie Dalrymple and James Chisholm, co-hosted with Dave Rogers. Let's cut straight to the action.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Chris Robshaw Bar. It is the big summer kickoff 2024 and the big summer breakfast podcast. Please welcome our award-winning podcasters, Michael Wood and Will Wood.
Morning, everybody. There we go.
How's everybody doing? Thank you for coming out. Nice and early one today, but it's a big day. Big summer kickoff. Been waiting a long time for this one. And this is our second ever live show. So we're very, very grateful for you being here. We've got no idea how many people are actually here. Capacity is 500, but we'll just say we hit capacity, I think.
We'll just say we hit capacity, because actually the 500 that are in here, we'll see it all again. But the other couple of thousand that listen to it won't be in the room. So it'll all filter through the numbers.
Anyway, the plan for the next hour or so, and just to do a bit of housekeeping, is we've deliberately planned this 12 o'clock till 1 o'clock because in about an hour and a half's time, the boys are going to be departing from the gate over there, the Jason Leonard gate, to walk over to HQ. We want to make sure we're all over there, giving them a big send-off. So that's the plan. We'll aim to wrap within an hour. As most of you have seen, there's lots of pints in hand. The bar is open, and we've got 72 free pints from London Pride.
Which I think are all gone already, which is
which might have already gone, but if you haven't got one, give it a go. There might be a couple left.
Yeah, that's like a thimbleful each. Just by way of noise then, Northampton Saints fans, where are you?
None. There were a couple just around the corner, but they've deliberately chosen to show their backs to us, which is hopefully a sign of things to come this afternoon.
Harlequins fans? Podcast listeners?
Oh, thank you very much.
The door, the drum, the famous podcast drum. Anyone here who has never listened to Two Woods, Four Quarters before?
Where Welcome. Have you been the last couple of years, lads? What's been going on?
They've been winning awards. Right, what's on the agenda, Will? You're in charge. You've got the clicker.
Loads on the agenda. We're going to do a little intro for those that don't know who we are, just to give a bit of context. We're then going to do a review of the season so far. Been pretty good season so far. And then 7 games to go. Fingers crossed everything goes to plan. 7 game World Cup for us. Go and win the double. Let's see. So we're going to preview that. And then special guest James Chisholm will be joining us on stage.
Hey!
Free! For a little interview and a Q&A. And then we'll finish up with a quiz as well.
I genuinely thought Chiz had just walked in, but it's just another bald guy.
Hey! So, to get the show on the road... For those that don't know, Michael and I are cousins. We started doing a fan podcast in January 2021. It was a very weird time in the world. Everybody was in lockdown. The boys were playing in front of empty stadiums. And we just said goodbye to Paul Gustard and our season was sort of in the bin. But it wasn't in the bin, was it, Mike?
No, it wasn't in the bin as much as my lockdown rig. I suffered the most out of anyone in that little few months. We've been chatting about it for about a week. Obviously, this was time-stamped. What was that? The 19th of Jan. Literally, then the next day, the tweet came out, and I thought, right, we've got to get on this pretty quickly. Circle on 2 or 3 years, and we've got a sold-out Robshaw Bar and a big summer kickoff around the corner, which is going to be brilliant.
So a lot can happen in that six-month period, but a lot more can happen in the 3 years since. We've been very, very lucky to have a lot of players come on the podcast now. We must thank Laurie and all the staff at the club for helping us and being supportive throughout the whole time that we've been doing this podcast, particularly Adrian and Tom as well, who have helped us get players on. We've got Chiz joining us shortly, but we've had some amazing guests. Ugo Moni has been a great one. That was probably my personal highlight. What's yours been?
The funny one was Chris Robshaw. And I think I told the story another time, but we DM'd him on Twitter and said, oh, we'd love to get you on. He just left the club the year before. He was out in San Diego. And he replied, said, yeah, well, great. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm coming on. I was like, oh, brilliant. And I sent the Zoom link to an email that was a .co.uk email rather than a .com. So we were sitting on the Zoom call and sort of 10 minutes had gone by and we're thinking, shit, he's not going to come on. And we've really mucked this up. And then we checked on Twitter and he said, I'm waiting in the room, boys. I can't get an email. And Will was like, I cannot believe you sent it to the wrong email address. Like, have you never had a proper job before? You don't check things over. What on earth are you doing? And luckily, he gave us about another hour of his time out in San Diego and we were sat there. And yeah, having him on was pretty cool straight away. That was amazing.
He was loving life, wasn't he? Long hair, tan.
Great tan on the boy. Unbelievable tan. Yeah. Unreal tan.
But we haven't just had amazing guests. We've had some amazing away days as well. And none better than a couple of weeks ago in Bordeaux. Was anybody in here?
Who's in Bordeaux
as well? Just a handful. Is anybody going to Toulouse next week?
Hey!
Oh, it's going to be a good one. 2,000 minimum, I think we've sold. So
I was listening to Mr. Laurie Dalrymple on the Ruck podcast this week and said 2,000 was initially sold out. Then a few more were released as well, and they went out pretty quickly. So yeah, there'll be about 2,500 Quins fans out there, all in the same block, which is unbelievable. But before we move on to Toulouse, we'll talk very, very briefly about Bordeaux, and then we'll drag Laurie up on stage. There's one person who's not in the audience that we need to shout out, and that's Will's dad, Uncle Nick, as some of you might have mentioned. When we were talking about the flight to Bordeaux, we were sitting in Southwest London somewhere looking at flights. Saris were playing Bordeaux. We think, right, how are we going to get there? Cheapest flight. It was the end of the month. And I said, right, Saturday to Sunday, we'll just fly back and we'll get a cheap hotel overnight. We'll just stay in it for a couple of hours. And he said, look, don't worry about the hotel. We'll just go all through the night and we'll go to the airport and it'll be great. And I texted you privately and I thought, are you joking? Like, he's 62 years old. And he was loving it. And he was still chatting to everyone. It got to about midnight and I was pretty cooked and I was sunburned. And Nick was there and a beer in his hand. He was flying. But then we got to the airport and there's that photo of you two sitting on the, sleeping on the sofas in some cafe in Bordeaux Airport. It was absolutely hilarious. But what a 24 hours that was.
Over to you.
Is John Sweeney in here?
No.
Oh, he's not. Right. So who's planned their trip to Toulouse? Has anyone planned their trip to Toulouse? Yeah. Looking forward to it. I have had an absolute nightmare trying to sort flights because I'm like, oh, this will be so easy. It's Toulouse. We live in London. What a doddle. And then when I log into Skyscanner and see that return flight is 850 quid, I was like, oh, I do love Quins. But, I mean, 850 quid's a lot of money. John Sweeney, legend, I put a bit of a call to arms on Twitter, and he is like, Dave, I booked an extra flight, and he has sorted me out. So when I see him, I owe him about, well, he can have one of these free beers that we've got here. No, I'll definitely sort him out. But one of the lovely things about the build-up to Toulouse has been the fact that I've seen so many amazing Quins fans on social media helping each other out. Right, I've got a spare ticket. Do you need a ticket? Do you need a flight? And as you said, 2,000. It's going to be an amazing community. And I hope that we go there and we absolutely wallop them. But in the event that we don't, I just think we're all going to have the most incredible day, just like we're all having the most incredible day that starts here today. And then we march over. And it's just one of many, many brilliant, brilliant experiences and memories and days that we all get to share together. So to John and to everybody who's helped people on the journey to Toulouse and anywhere else you've gone this season, cheers to them. Well done, everyone.
Whee! Right. Should we get him up?
We got our first guest on.
Introduce the top gaffer.
Now,
no jokes.
I have to make a very quick apology. Hands up those of you in the Cardiff Live show as well. A small handful. There's a few less in the room. We had a bit of a different pre-morning plan to today.
You were pissed.
I was pissed, yeah.
Yeah.
I was pissed. And we announced that we invited Laura up on stage. And I don't know why, but a height joke just fell from my mouth. And the moment I said it, I thought, what are you doing, you idiot? But he was very good about it. So I promise I won't do it again. But please welcome up CEO Laurie Dalrymple.
Hey! Laurie, how are you doing?
Can you hold that?
Priorities. Let's sort the pint out first.
I'm too short to get on my own chair.
Thank you.
Hello. Welcome, everyone. Thanks for having me on. I'm doing all right. Thank you very much.
Looking forward to today?
I am. I wish the sun was a bit more present.
It's not giving big summer kickoff, is it? Just yet.
Yeah, it's not really a marketeer's dream when it's 7 degrees and we've entitled the event Summer Kickoff. So, no.
A third year of Big Summer Kickoff. It's growing every year. Can you tell us a little bit more about it and what the direction it's going in with the club?
Yeah, so this, as you rightly say, this is our third edition. the aim is to get this to a sellout in the next 1 or 2 years. So if you look at where we're tracking, first year was 47, last year 43, but we had to move it because of some rail strike sort of involvement. So we kind of got a bit pegged back last year, but I think we'll probably get somewhere 58, 59 maybe today, which is just absolutely remarkable. Yeah. So a huge credit to our supporters who are, you know, continue to massively support what we're doing. To the singular Saints fan who's turned up. He's pretty persistent, I'll give him that. But frankly, the team... Yeah, so the team on the pitch do well, and then the team off the pitch are just fantastic. I think we've got the best in the business at the club, so they deserve huge credit.
Hear, hear to that. Round of applause for that, please.
I mean, not that I look on social media and hold grudges or anything, but in the build-up to this event, when it was announced and when the ticketing was announced, we were all super excited. There's one particular social media account that's run by Northampton Saints fans, and they were like, well, it's a terrible event, isn't it? It's awful. What's the point? You're not going to engage any supporters. You're not going to fill Twickenham. And here we are, 60,000 tickets later, a room full of Quins fans, all ages, couple of Saints sprinkled over there pretending they're not enjoying themselves, but really it'll be the highlight of their season. I wasn't expecting that. But again, rugby needs this, and of course we're going to pump Harlequin's tyres up here because we sell out every week, and we all know that it's a great place to watch rugby. It's not always a great place to keep your heart rate under 180 beats per minute. But no matter whether it's here or over the road at the Big Stoop, continually you keep, like you said, the best on the pitch, the best off the pitch as well. Do you wish other clubs did a little bit more? Because Saracens do their game, but always invite Harlequins because they know they'll sell a few tickets.
Any form of capacity. Why are we talking about Saracens? I know you're making a point. It's a very good one, but
I don't remember that one either.
No, but bigger picture... Bigger picture, do other clubs need to do this? Could Sale Sharks do one at the Etihad, for example?
Look, first of all, you've got to take a bit of pride in what we do as a club. So that's the first thing. And the success of this has been born out of some bravery and courage to take the decision to do it 14, 15 years ago. Our responsibility now as a club is to take it on and to try and deliver it bigger and better. I was always convinced there was an opportunity to have another bite at the cherry, to do something over the road successfully because of the success at a big game. We're pretty fortunate because of where we exist. So we've got a massively strong rugby catchment, as you'd expect in this community. So we utilise that to our advantage. But look, if we're being honest, and we're going to be a touch arrogant, three of the biggest club games in England... So big game, big summer kickoff and the showdown, there's a common denominator across all three. So look, but your point is valid in the sense that you need all boats to rise at a similar pace. Otherwise, you know, we want the whole league to continue to sort of develop and grow. So the pride that we take out of a game like today, where we've got 60,000 in the stadium, Grammy award-winning artist opening up the show and the match and getting things going. You know, we should all take pride in that as a league, and our responsibility as one of the biggest clubs, I think, in the league is to try and amplify it as best as we can.
I'm also very much looking forward to going over to Spurs in a couple of weeks for our first visit there this year, which will be really good fun. That you mentioned three games. I'm not quite sure what the other one was, but I'm looking forward to going over to Spurs.
Right, so... We're super lucky that Laurie is public-facing. He's honest with us all. What some of you might not know, if you've not met him before, is he's actually a brilliant tourist and never misses an away day. So how was Bordeaux and what did you get up to?
Bordeaux was all right, wasn't it? Yeah, that immediately went, I think, into my top three days as a Quins fan, most definitely as an employee. I suppose the only regret, we flew back the same, we flew back that night. So, and the lads were, actually earlier in the week, they were saying, look, if we win, can we stay another night? And I was like, well, we've got to make the decision now. We can't in the moment decide that a charter flight needs to just move back 12 hours. So, but knowing if we won, what was going to be coming down pretty heavy on the pressure front. So they tried again in the dressing room to move the flight. I was like, look, we can't do that. So we had a few beers on the plane on the way home.
But who was leading the charge to get you to move the flight? Is one of the culprits behind you? Or?
Well, no, he isn't. Although he is quite spectacular at a social, I have to say. in all of my amateur days as a player, anyone comes close to that man. There's a complete alter ego to James Chisholm. But have a guess. Who do you think might have been?
Any guesses? Who was the one leading the charge for beers on the way back on the team plane? Wev?
No, not
anyone much. Else? Danny Kerr?
Danny wasn't there.
He wasn't there.
He wasn't there.
It was by Zoom if he was.
Yeah. I'm going to go with who are the young lads that like a pint? Northmore. Northmore likes a beer.
Positionally, you're close. It was Esther Hazen. He was the one. There we go. There we go.
So any stories from the flight that you can share?
It was lively. Oscar earned his 50th cap for the club. He was under, I'd say, moderate pressure to clear his vocal cords and give us a song, which he duly did. And not only did he do that, he had to do it over the tannoy on the on the aircraft.
What was the song?
Valerie.
And then remind you to keep your seats and tray tables in the correct position in time for landing.
This way to Toulouse, left and right.
Exactly. He did well. The secret of a good sing-song is always pick a song that you know the rest of the group's going to come with.
Crowd
you
participation.
Quick.
Yeah.
Big time. When in doubt, Oasis. Always.
Unreal.
Let's do it. Whilst we've got this up behind us, a lot of people have been scanning this, I'm sure. It's kind of our season review so far. I think we feel pretty good about it. What's the feel like internally, Laurie? How are we doing so far this season? And what are our goals for the finals? Fingers crossed, 7 games.
Yeah, I think, look, on balance, we're really pleased. Certainly on the men's programme. Women's, we know we're going through a slight transition phase there. But on the men's, yeah, happy overall. We set ourselves top 4 as a target. Yeah. I still believe that's in our hands to complete. We've got 3 big games coming up. One of them's today, obviously.
Here they are, actually, on screen now. 7 games to win a double.
I mean, so if you'd said...
come on, the Queens!
It's a lot easier said than done, isn't it? But if you said at the start of the season that you get to late April, beginning of May, the sun's basking out there... And we've got 60,000 at Twickenham for a big summer kickoff. We're in a shout to get playoffs and go for the Prem. And we're more and more importantly in the semi-finals of the Champions Cup. Then we would have snapped your arm off. Yeah. Equally, we spoke a lot at the start of the season around identity of performance. It's difficult to go through the entire season, yeah, reaching those levels. Like you've seen Northampton get beaten quite heavily away at Bristol, and then we had a tough day at Tottenham. That same Saracens team then went had a tough weekend the following weekend away at Saints. So I think it's consistency across the board, but I've been really pleased how we've been playing. There's obviously been some standout games and performances in there, as you'd expect for Quins. And it's a big 6-7 weeks coming up, hopefully.
That's it, mate. 7 wins and a double. Feeling good?
We've got it in the locker.
Feeling confident? There were a few people like, yeah, and everyone else is like,
I think so, there might be a few more about 5:30 that will go, yeah, I am feeling a little bit more confident after we beat Northampton today. But yeah, today's going to be massive. And before we let you go, we won't ask Dave to put his professional reputation on the line, because whenever we ask him on the podcast, he always bottles it. But give us a little prediction for this afternoon.
I was actually dreading you asking me that. Because other weekends you go in, look, first and foremost, I'm really confident we're going to get a win. Yeah. I think the boys will be well switched on today, given everything around the nature.
Always
of the
are
day.
At Twickenham, aren't we?
Yeah, so I think we're going to turn up. I've got a feeling it's going to be a high scorer. Quins by 2 points in the 40s.
42-38 would be nice, wouldn't it? Something like that.
It's a day for the attack coach, probably not so much for the defence coaches, but it'll be fun. And I think we'll enjoy the ride.
Brilliant.
Right then, before we leave Laurie go, can you just sign that ball, please, Laurie, because they're giving it away in a bit. We've got... Has everyone...
I'll hold your pint.
Who's at the...
Will's, I'll take the pint. Yeah. Let me take hold of that.
Okay, before I go, can I just say, look, how many people in this room, how many people listen to these lads? I said it in Cardiff. I'm going to say it again. They deserve an enormous amount of a credit, appreciation for doing what they do.
So just quickly then, Laurie, we've got Rockstar Weekend doing Masioki later. If you've not been before, you have to go. It's the most fun. If you were going to do a karaoke song, and we might make you do it, what would it be?
Valerie.
Laurie Dalrymple, everyone.
Thank you, Laurie.
One superstar leaves the stage. Another one is about to join us. A premiership champion in the OG Hawaiian shirt. Give it up for James Chisholm.
Hello, everyone. Before we actually start, can you talk us through this as well?
Look at that.
We were just trying to break the internet, weren't we? Ticket sales went from about 2,000 to 50,000 that day. So, you tell me. Empty beach in Portugal as well.
The film in Portugal.
That's so good.
Tell you what, after it was fun. It was fun. Finally listen to me with the marketing. Yeah. Finally.
So that'll do.
A round of applause, Chiz. That's outstanding. That is unreal.
So about 10,
well done,
about 10 seconds into that video, you've disappeared and you've come back with a shirt and a hat on. Is that because you'd already burnt?
Yeah, maybe. I did ask the media guy to cream me up and he was like, it was actually pretty cold and it wasn't that hot and it was sunny, so...
Should have got the club to stretch to a spray tan because that would have been absolutely superb.
Where was that filmed?
We were in Portugal we were at Browns. I can't remember what the beach is called, but it was in Portugal somewhere.
We need to get ourselves in the pre-season playing to Portugal next year. Maybe we need, give me 6 months and I'll do the promo for another one with you. But did you volunteer for that or did someone come and ask you to do it?
They ask me. They know I'll say yes to anything. They hardly got through the, do you? Yeah, I'll do it.
So Laurie was talking then about you being in charge of socials in Portugal. Look, we've got a group of people here who want to know all the details. I know you're not going to tell us, basically, and that's fine, but how did you become social leader, kangaroo court captain, whatever you are?
To be honest, it's whoever wants to do it. Does it. So I think it was 2017, I muscled in. It was Joe Gray and I muscled in and then whoever can organise it the quickest gets to do it. So
Joe Gray these days, it's whoever can stay in an ice bath the longest, isn't it? It's got absolutely silly with it. So 2017 and no one's challenged you since?
No, never look back. They try. I think Stefan's always like, involve more people. Involve a wider... Don't just involve your friend, the echo chamber. Should we do this? Yeah. It's like, Steph, I don't want anyone in there questioning me. Obviously.
We've actually had Steph on the podcast not too long ago, and he said you're the admin of the players' WhatsApp group. What does that entail? What are your roles and responsibilities?
Well, just add people into the group and remove people when it's time to remove them.
That's it. There's no kind of governance to it apart from removing and adding.
Correct, yeah.
Well, that was a boring question then, wasn't it? Yeah.
So when do you remove them then? This is interesting because, you know, we find out when players are arriving and leaving a little bit afterwards and you might get the heads up on that. Must be quite a dark day sometimes where you're just like, oh, see ya.
You've got to be cutthroat. No, I give them a chance. I text them and say, if you want to say goodbye, now would be the time. because the purge is coming.
You've got 1 hour to get as many messages in the chat before I boot you.
We've got a couple of rules in WhatsApp groups where if you're inactive, you get a warning. And if you're still inactive, you're gone. Is there anything like that?
No, there's a lot of lads that stay very quiet on there. They'd be gone. half the group would be gone.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who's the most active?
Recently, he's Lovejoy. So he supports Arsenal. There's loads of us.
Shame.
There's loads of us that don't watch football. And he's posting a guy in a Liverpool shirt crying. And I'm sat there like, what's he doing? Why has he sent us this?
And he's off to Bristol. See ya.
Yeah.
Mate, it's not
he'll
soon.
Be cut. As soon as I can, he's gone.
Yeah, all
he is gone.
Ta-da now.
Let's move the conversation onto a little bit more rugby. You've been injured for a little while now. We don't know the details of it. Are you able to share any updates when you might be back or how the rehab's gone?
Just before you do this, I'm going to put my fingers in my ears because it gets me in trouble. Yeah. So as you were, say what you need to... bye.
What's he done? What have you done?
Well, about a year ago, and I'm going to put him in it as well, I think Dave got a little bit of intel from someone in the club about injuries. Someone out there tweeted, oh, does anyone know when X is going to be back? And I don't know if he'd had a beer or not, but went on and was like, yeah, him 6 weeks, him 2 weeks, him ankle, whatever. And then about half an hour later, he texted us and I went, lads, I've got this massively wrong. Someone's giving me a big slap on the wrist.
Speaking of Portugal, I'm on holiday in Portugal. Mike Lancaster's rung me at about 10, 11 o'clock at night, like, what are you doing? And then, yeah, that's me done with any injury chat. So you boys carry on.
So he put his strawberry daiquiri on the table and went, ah, right, how do I fix this?
Yeah, it's going really well, thank you. It's been quite frustrating because it wasn't that bad. I basically tore, it's called my plantar plate, underneath my big toe. So it doesn't sound that bad. And it wasn't that bad, but it's in such a key area that it just has taken quite a long time. But I train this week. I'll be fit for Tuesday's training, and then we'll go from there. So, all in all, it's been okay. It's just frustrating to have missed some really cool games and some really cool things. But we've got a big finish, so I'm looking forward to that.
And we had Will Evans on the pod last week. Listen to that, everyone.
Yeah. He was great, wasn't he?
Great lads.
Brilliant.
Yeah, he's a great man.
I like to think of the back row brigade, a bit like the fast bowling cartel in Test cricket. That's how I like to sort of think of them. So you've got yourself, Wev, Lauday, but who are the real heavy hitters in that back row socially? Like, you know, rugby's
that
rugby.
Question we really took a turn, didn't it?
Yeah. Socially, who are the heavy hitters?
So Laurie was staying quite Chandler Cunningham South pushes it. You forget how young he is? I think he's only 21. And I think he gets quite excited. And Wev's a bit of a slow burner, but when you get into tipping point, he can do some damage.
So way back when I first got involved with the club, it was the first game when rugby restarted during COVID, played Sale Sharks, won that game. And we used to do Harlequins Live, where we'd do a watch-along, and we'd have a couple of players and we just enjoy the game together. Well, enjoy the game to the best we could because it's pretty stressful watching as it is now. But we used to get questions in and then I used to pick up off the back of those. And if you remember back then, you were getting changed. Was it in the Mike Brown bar you were getting changed in, or was it the one?
I think we were over the other side of the pitch and the opposition were in the Mike
Brown
bar.
Yes, that's right. But you were getting changed in a bar. So one of the questions was...
Any player,
Chiz knows what's coming.
Any player in the squad who you think would be helping themselves behind the bar whilst you were getting changed, who would it be? And everyone unanimously said James Chisholm. Literally, it was you. And I suppose this is your first opportunity 3 years later to either straight back that and say absolutely not, or embrace it and own it.
So the. It was more of a research project to see if the taps worked. So I was pushing taps and none of them worked, but then the fridges were left open. So there were soft drinks in there as well. So I could have had a soft drink.
And hydration's really important, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So do you think that still stands, or do you think somebody will have overtaken you in that?
Yeah, no, I'm a miserable man now. Like going home as early as I can and hiding, but times have changed. It's time for somebody else to push it and upset everyone and get into lorry on flights where you can't escape.
I'm going to bring it back to rugby again because we've gone back to the social.
Oh, sorry.
Back row is probably our most stacked position at the moment. I would argue you're probably our most versatile across 6, 7, and 8. In fact, I think your best games for us this season have actually come wearing 7. Do you have a preference or do you just want to get on the pitch?
No, look, to be honest, I want to play 8. But that's not going to happen. So, to be honest, I'm not bothered. I'm very happy to play. I think in the past I've struggled. I played 8 a lot and then played 6. And it is different. It is and it isn't. It is different. It is a bit harder to get in the game because of the way the set piece is set up.
Right.
But now I don't find that issue. And I love playing 7 because there's a bit more freedom there because I'm not a natural 7. My skill set and Webb's skill set, for example, are very, very different.
Yeah.
So it feels like that's a bit more of a have a go, not as much pressure, see what you can do. So I enjoy playing there a lot. But like you said, I just want to play, especially having missed so much in the last 2 seasons. I'll play anywhere.
Well, speaking of that, a frustrating couple of years, can we all agree that seeing Cheers back out there and enjoying his rugby this year has been unreal, hasn't it? Like, and I remember, so it was you, Wev, and Domers who played against Cardiff in the Champions Cup. And I was doing my stats before that. And at the time, the 3 of you were 1, 2, and 4 in terms of turnovers in the Premiership. And it just looks as though you love playing as part of that group. You love being out there and really trying to hurt people. Was it as much fun as it looks? Did you enjoy being back as much as it looks like you did?
Yeah. Short answer, yes. Long answer, obviously playing is a massive part of that. And I've been fit. Touch wood, I've been fairly fit this year. Sorted out a lot of my issues last summer. And the club's great. Like day to day is very enjoyable. And I think with me in particular, you can tell how much I've enjoyed it day to day and on the pitch, hopefully. So it's been great from the coaching to the content of the day to how much we train, get looked after, how we're playing, so on and so on. And the step we've taken forward in terms of improvement in rugby, tactically, technically, in detail. I've absolutely loved it. And it's probably the best it's ever been in terms of the club. And it's very much up there for the best it's been for me in terms of personal enjoyment, which is awesome.
How much that do you think is down to Danny Wilson? So Steph came in and spoke to us at the start of the season and said that the level of detail that he's added has been massive. And you've been around here sort of pushing 10 years now. So seen quite a lot of that sort of, you know, changing of the guard in terms of coaches and setup. What's his level of detail and what's his input on the squad?
Yeah, he's been incredible. He's, like you said, his level of detail. When it comes to coaching, I think what makes a good coach is you have your principles and your processes and you always come back to that in terms of your review, preview, how you set up your sessions. You're trying to always work on those things that we hang our hat on. And I think as a team, we've always been a way of like, let's play fast, let's chuck it around, let's do this. And his balance of, we're going to do that, but also the way to win this sport is good set piece, good, clever kicking game, not necessarily kicking all the time, but clever and boxing smart, not overplaying, so on and so on. So those little things he's chipped away at, you might not be able to tell because we still have the ability to throw it around. Bordeaux was a very different game plan to Sale, which unfortunately we were second best in, but we were great for 60 minutes because we got those things right. But he's been awesome and it gets more out of the coaches that he's got. I've been fortunate enough to work with some really, really good coaches and some not so good coaches. And having those better coaches around, you learn off. You just learn off as you go. And it's the same for the coaches that we've had for a while. I think they learn one thing from each coach, think they're going to get better and better.
This is actually something I was going to ask you. You've obviously been at the club 10 years or so and had lots of different coaching regimes within that time. How do they compare? Not necessarily who's better or worse than another, but how are they different? And does it even feel any different?
Got to be careful here. I think with the setup of the roles, so Danny is just a rugby coach and then Billy is overseeing. I think he's a general manager. I think that's his title. He oversees it. I think that works. I think when I joined, we were probably on a rebuild phase that we didn't rebuild, and it just went on and on. And I think the last the years after that, so that was with Connor 10 years ago, the kind of phase that we've just been treading water. I think we've had a lot of good people, a lot of good coaches, but they've not necessarily been in the role that would have suited them. But I'm sure, you know, people in the room know better than me that when an opportunity comes up, you apply for it and hope for the best and see what happens. It doesn't necessarily suit that individual, but if they've got the CV for it and there's an opportunity, you chuck them in, give them a go and see how it goes. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And I think at the moment it's really, really working. So long may it continue and see how we go.
Hear, hear.
Seven more wins,
exactly. Come on, you twins.
Right, we've got 15 minutes left.
Yes.
And we stitched you right up in, Carl, if you nearly missed your call time. So we're going to make sure we finish bang on 1 o'clock.
Well, no,
this time.
I just need to make sure that I'm over the other grounds before the players leave. Otherwise, I can't welcome them, which is literally the one thing I've been employed to do today. We did have a question that came in on social media before we're going to do the Q&A with you.
Look at the silver.
I assume they're for us. Thank you very much.
Thanks, mate.
This is great. This doesn't translate well on the podcast. We are recording for Monday, bro. Jeremy Morgan just bought us
beers. They're both me.
You have that one.
Thank you very much, though. Thank you.
The one question that came in on social. Cheers, Jeremy Morgan, everyone.
Thank you.
Delicious.
Have you and Tom Lorday ever shaved each other's heads?
Yeah, I think we have.
Have you?
Yeah. It's like we actually lived together for about 8 months. And you know, like monkeys in the wild, how they sit in a queue and pick each other's ticks. It's like that. I shave him. He shaves Aaron Morris. Aaron Morris shaves Jack Stafford. Jack Stafford shaves Matt Simmons. I can't think of any more.
Jesus.
Who asked that one?
Planet Earth, I think.
Outstanding.
Right then, this is your opportunity to ask not just Chiz, but the Wood Boys anything you want. How much length is on this?
Steady, excuse that doesn't me? Translate careful, well on the podcast.
Careful. Family pod.
I tell you what, we're gonna do a little bit of a jiggery pokery here, and I'm gonna make a trip hazard for everyone.
If you do have a question, pop your hand up. I reckon we've got time for 2/3. We've also got a couple of giveaways. We've got a ball. I think there's a shirt kicking around as well. So we're going to do a little Q&A.
Mate, I'm not giving away another shirt. I got in so much.
Is that your new one?
Yeah.
Apologies. No shirt, just ball. Apologies.
You said it now.
Mate, I did an outfit change like Lady Gaga.
Sorry.
Did you not see?
Sorry, I thought that was a giveaway.
Here we go.
Question number one.
Cheers, Dave. Firstly, Wood Boys, as always, incredible. As always, well done. Thank you so much for all the hard work you're doing. You are such an integral part of the community. So thank you. As you can see right next to me, I've got my wonderful baby brother, Francis, right next to me. It involves siblings, okay? Because as we all know, James's older brother recently, Harlequin's veteran who retired.
It's not always the oldest one that's better looking, ironically. That doesn't work out, does it, often?
So my question is actually mainly to you, James. As you know, your brother retired. He's gone into coaching. Doing really well with the women's team from what I've seen. Out of interest, post-playing career, is that something you're interested in, going into maybe sort of coaching, following in your brother's steps, you know, following after him?
Yeah, story of my life, isn't it, really? Yeah, definitely. I think that coaching at this level with the men is pretty full on. There's lots of stuff we don't even see that you don't see. They're having meetings on Sunday, they're preparing clips, they're doing this and that. There's a lot of time away from their family. So I don't think it would be at this level in the men's game, but I would like to coach at a pretty, pretty high level. I've done a little bit with the women and it's great. And it is different in the sense of it's, you know, it's semi-professional, it's Tuesday, Thursday evenings, it lends itself to a bit more flexibility. So you never know, but definitely, like, I love the sport. I still do. I love the detail for it. So absolutely.
Good question.
Sorry, this is a semi-brother related question. Sorry. Theme. What was it like removing your brother from the WhatsApp group?
Yeah.
Great question.
I'm an only child. I don't know what that's like.
That one was easy, yeah. Just, that one came quite naturally. Yeah, easy.
Just deleted him totally. Like, social media, I'm Instagram, yeah, him, yeah, done.
Cheers. You obviously have a lot of fun. You play with your best mates. Off the field, there's loads of chat, banter, the WhatsApp group we've heard about. Does that spill over onto the pitch ever? And if so, give us an example.
I think not for me. I'm very serious. But you do hear stories. There was a story about that the lads had a poker chip in their socks and they would swap it. And at the end of the season, whoever had it, like tag, whoever had it at the end bought something. And in the game, if you got tapped, you'd have to take the poker chip. So you could be setting up for a scrum, tap, give you the, so that, and then you can't pass it back. There was that. I don't know if that's true. And then there's another one. Marla used to not tell Dave Ward the line-out calls. So, and he needed them. He needed them. So he'd go up to him and Dave would be there with the ball and we'd go, F off, short arms. And as you know, imagine Wardy's got no hope.
That explains the line-out then, doesn't it?
All right, we've got time for a couple more. At the back here, in the full Twickenham tuxedo.
Great stash.
Oh, yeah. So, for the love of rugby, recently did an episode about drafting in like a World 15 or whatever they did. And I'd love to know what you guys, which player would you sign for the club if you had all the money and all the power in the world?
Ooh, good question.
Oh, great
Ooh,
question.
Yeah.
Wow, this is a good one, isn't it?
Why don't, someone said DuPont, which is a stupid suggestion. We've got Danny Kerr and Will Porter. We don't need DuPont.
Could we re-sign Andre Esterhazen?
Yeah.
That's my answer.
That probably would
that's
be the case
as well. Answer.
Who's unreal vibes and good as well?
I think like 2 years ago would have been Cheslin Colby.
Yeah. Nice. That's a good sound.
I think he would have
But we don't need him because we've got Caden Burley. It's okay.
DuPont would have been cool, but don't need him. Do we need anyone?
Don't we need anyone?
Do we need anyone?
Is there anyone outside of rugby like who you think would be an amazing rugby player that you could get in, either for vibes or to add to the squad? Like, imagine if you could trade him. I think like Dwayne The Rock Johnson as a loose head.
Yeah, that would be cool. Yeah,
we don't need Dwayne. We've got Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah. Right, we've got time for a couple more. Oh, Kathy at the front.
I'm feeling really bad, but we didn't really answer that one because we sort of said, well, we don't need anyone.
Andre was my answer. Colby. We'll have that one.
Re-sign Andre.
Okay, this is going to be a completely random one, but some of us also like NFL and it's draft season. So of the academy players at other clubs, who would be your number one draft pick if we could steal them for Quins?
That'd be a great question for Dave, actually. Dave knows that world well.
Dave knows more rugby than any man alive. Yeah, so
come on, Dave.
What, like senior academy now? Yeah.
From other clubs.
From other clubs. Asher Opoku's quite good, isn't he? At Sale in England under 20s, yeah. And he can scrum on both sides. He'd be bloody expensive, mind. Yeah. Cool. Who else?
Bath have just had a couple of good ones, haven't they?
Oh, yeah.
Tui Pilotu
and... Fire. Yeah, Tyler Afire. Both of them played for England under 18s.
But there's a couple of us that have got money on Cassius Cleese being World Player of the Year 2027. So we've already got him. We don't need anyone else. We don't need anyone. I think we're fine.
Big summer quiz. Okay. Question number one. Crowd participation, by the way. You're playing for a signed ball. Big
All
summer kickoff is in its what year? Third, fourth, or fifth? Hey. The answer is A, third year. Laurie kind of gave that one away right at the start, didn't he? Yeah. Never mind.
But they're listening, so that's good.
Can you name every single Big Summer Kickoff headline act? I'm actually going to come to you guys for that one. Cheers. Could you know every single one?
Hang on.
I don't think so.
Right.
Said with so much enthusiasm.
Go again.
He loves every single one of them.
Kaiser Chiefs, Craig David, Jess Glynn.
Correct.
Oh, shout.
That Any Jess Glynn fans in the house?
Just Lynn, yeah.
Sort of. Head to head, Quins v Saints, obviously the big one today, and hopefully, I mean, to be honest, we don't really care if they're in the Champions Cup final, but it could be the big one again in a few weeks' time. Most carries this season.
Ooh,
It's close, but it is Quinn's.
You got about 300 of those, I think,
yeah,
haven't you?
Yeah.
That could be the score today, couldn't it?
Defenders beaten. Who's beating more defenders, Quinn's or Saints? Mike, I'll come to you for this one.
Am I trying to win or am I going biased? Because I think it's probably just
We're a biased podcast.
I think it's probably just Northampton.
It is just Northampton, yeah. By about a couple games, I reckon.
By about 10 minutes in the second half.
Turnovers won. Well, I think we know where this one's going. Everyone's shouting WEF, but it is a team head-to-head. Northampton are actually third bottom, I think, or one of the lower teams for turnovers this season. So that might be quite telling today. And then to finish, Premiership titles. Who's won more, Quins or Saints? Oh, that stumped a lot of people. Do you two know?
I thought that was us. I thought it was a 2-1.
2-1, yeah.
2-1! And that's the end of the show. I think we're bang on time. So if anybody wants to grab a quick pint, oh no, never mind. They're shut the bar just as I finish wrapping up.
Right, before you go anywhere, this has been so much fun. Can everyone just squeeze in so we can take a nice picture with you all in the background? That'd be great. You guys up against the wall, if you could come here.
And one thing we must say as well before everyone departs and heads over to wave the players off is that we have got Harlequins Foundation in the house as well, selling raffle tickets in the pink bibs over here. They do an amazing job. They raise loads of money and do great causes for the club. So if you've got any cash to spare and want to get involved in the raffle, do head over to somebody wearing a pink bib.
We've got two more things to chat as well. A lot of you know Ewan Laws.
Yes.
Everyone knows Ewan. Ewan's not well enough to be here today, which is a little bit of a shame. So we wish him all the very best. And also Quinn's Pride are in the corner. I think it's block M31. First time they've had a Pride section in the ground over the road of the Big Stoops. That's a massive well done to the club as well, which is great. Well done. Right, let's have a selfie.
Right, everybody get in.
Right, if you can't see the camera can't see you. Them's the rules. You've been in enough school. Mick, your massive head's blocking about 30 people. Right then. Come on, you Quinn!
Amazing. Thank you so much for coming, everybody. We're going to head over to the Jason Leonard Gate now and wave the boys off. We will see you over there shortly.
Wow. Live show number 2, boxed off. What a morning, mate. How good was that?
Yeah, so much fun. It was weird. I got in the ground so early. I was in the stoop, but about 10:30, just to sort of see if I could help set anything up or just be around the place. And you walk into the Robshaw bar and it's empty, and you think, "Christ, this is actually quite a big space. need to make sure we get a few people."
I was a little worried we wouldn't fill it. You know,
I wasn't sure. It was an early start.
I thought it might be a bit too early.
It's slightly off the beaten track from the station if people are going direct to the ground, all that sort of stuff. But mate, we are so lucky. The people that turned out shows that, you know, there's a few people that listen to us every week, and obviously people like Laurie and Chiz helped drum up some numbers, but I'm pretty sure that everyone came. I mean, I've got no clue on numbers. I'd imagine somewhere between 350-ish probably in the room.
No clue. But it felt a lot bigger than Cardiff, didn't it? And that was about 120.
It was Ramo. It was so much fun. So thank you so much, everyone that came out. We hope you enjoyed it. We certainly did. And we'll just talk about a bit about the rest of the day, a little bit about the game. How the walkover was fun, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, that's why the podcast was early, because we wanted to be part of that. And we created a tunnel from start to finish, all the way along from the front doors of the stoop to the front doors of Twickenham. Paved the pathways with Quinn's fans and quarters. Absolutely brilliant. We love those moments. We're very lucky to have a big game and a big summer kickoff where we know we're going to get two of them. Nothing compares to when you've got it in a Premiership final or anything like that, though. I remember that one in 2021, which was just next level, singing the whole way. Yeah. But there was a real energy about it, wasn't it? And I loved the bagpipes and the drums and everything. Yeah. Sort of had the procession that led them over. We obviously had the podcast drum in attendance as well, which added a little bit to it.
Yeah.
I don't want to get too far ahead and start talking about Toulouse now, but I've been waiting to talk about Toulouse for the last month. So I cannot wait to try and recreate something like that. From the team bus to the entrance of Toulouse's stadium.
Yeah, big time.
We've located a flair shop in Toulouse as well.
Have we?
Yeah, we're going to have to raid that. Maybe you weren't there for that conversation. We're going to have to raid that on Friday night or Saturday morning. And like, I don't care how many we need to buy. Like, I'll buy 10 if I have to and dish them out. But we need to line a path from the bus to the stadium, green flares, purple flares. Unreal. I don't want to get too many red flares because it's a bit to lose. So quite lucky with lots of different colours, aren't we? I think we need to own the colour green. The big summer kickoff, bucket hats and Hawaiian shirts, all green. I think green's the colour we own. So I'm going to go.
Maybe there might be some white flares. Maybe we'll be playing in the white as well.
The white, yeah. There's always a white flare. So I think a good mixture just gives it that Quincy feel. But I want this buzzword that I said on the big screen yesterday as well. And I got it from Laurie when he was on our first live show, tribalism. There's a tribalism about Quins. And that's what I want on that walk for the boys from the bus to the stadium. I want that tribalism. I want the drum. I want the flares. I want to give them that 16th man before they've even stepped on the pitch.
Well, let's not look too far ahead. Let's talk a little bit about the day. We obviously had a lot of fun. We left the stoop, as everyone else did. Had loads of fun in the walkover. And I checked my watch and I was like, mate, we need to be in the ground in like 10 minutes. So me and you were like sprinting across into the traffic, hopping over the fences, jogging up to the stadium, went and got into the ground, picked up our media passes, and then found our way over to the tunnel because we were doing a little bit on the big screen beforehand with Dave, which is amazing. And I've never been on the turf at Twickenham. I've been in the ground hundreds of times, but I've never been that low. And you look up, it's a big old space to fill. There's a lot of people, a lot of seats in there. But it was so much fun having a little bit of a chat with Dave pre-game, just walking around the ground. And we were lucky, had Will's sister Zoe doing some film photography in the ground. So we helped her get up in her little spot, which was great.
Looking forward to seeing those, actually.
Yeah, we'll hopefully get some good photos of her that we can get out on our social media. That'd be pretty cool. But
she got a couple of Luke Northmore tries down right in front of her, didn't she? So
yeah, exactly.
Fingers he might crossed. Have a new profile picture.
Yeah, fingers crossed she was finger on the pulse of that one. But yeah, it was amazing just being in the sort of, you know, the foot of the stadium just beforehand with, you know, you just look around and you just see smiles on faces, people enjoying themselves. Jess Glynn was class. Thought she did a really, really good little set.
She was very good, actually, wasn't she?
Really enjoyed it,
very good.
I think sometimes because it's obviously the daylight, you don't get the darkness of big game with the light shows and the lasers and all that.
Yeah. So
there's maybe a little bit more onus on the performance, and I actually thought she was class. I'm a big Jess Glynn fan anyway, but I thought she was excellent.
That classic UK pop, isn't it? Sort of the UK charts, top 40 or whatever it is, and she's often in that. But it was the exact right vibe for Big Summer Kickoff.
Yeah.
I think it was brilliant for the audience that were in attendance for Big Summer Kickoff as well, where you've got a little bit more of a family feel and a few casual fans. So I thought she was excellent. I really enjoyed it.
100%. And look, we won't talk about the game in the sort of same level of detail that we usually do because we've already got an hour's worth of podcasts that you've already listened to. So we're going to just run through a few key moments. We'll read out some three-word reviews, and then we're going to pump the tyres on next week. So give me your overarching thoughts of the game. Obviously, 5 points is 5 points. We beat the league leaders. We put ourselves back in the hunt for some playoff places. How are you feeling just about the overall sort of feeling of the day and how the game panned out?
Now, look, I think a lot of Quins fans will feel similar to this. I'm quite conflicted because in one side of my brain, I'm thinking, get in, 5 points, beat the league leaders, always win at Twickenham, momentum. Got momentum now. We go into a European semi-final and then we've got two games left. One of them's at home in what could be a straight shootout. I feel really confident. And I felt confident going into the game because Twickenham is our second home.
Yeah.
We do perform well there. And we were playing a team that suits us. On the other side of my brain, I'm thinking, we just about scraped through that.
Yeah.
And it wasn't our best performance. A lot of discipline issues.
Yeah.
Saints were a little bit rotated. It wasn't their strongest team. They're sitting comfortably top. Perhaps this is one they wanted to rotate a little bit for so they could focus on their European semi.
Correct.
And actually, we still have a lot of work to do. Mm. So they're my two overriding feelings, very contrasting. If I sort of summarise that into one, I'm just so bloody excited, mate. Yeah. And we did loads of fun, cool things pitch side as a podcast before. And it's even quite funny just seeing podcast listeners take photos of us pitch side. It's, like, it's amazing to think that we're interesting enough that people want to do that. So that, it was cool in itself. But we were doing things pitch side like, what would you rather win, the Premiership or Europe? And let's just pinch ourselves for a minute where we're even having that conversation where we can choose what we'd rather win because both are quite capable possibilities. What a time to be a Quins fan, hey?
It's so much fun, isn't it? It's so much fun. But I think overall in the game, for me, do you know what? Weirdly, I look back at it, I'm almost disappointed that they picked up a bonus point. Didn't really feel like they ever really threatened to win the game, maybe seems a bit of a far-fetched thing to say, because clearly they were there or thereabouts. But it just felt like we rode the periods of yellow cards just well enough. We scored some brilliant tries. How could St. Luke Northmore back on the score sheet? I mean, he started
the second try, the line, the take, the finish, the celebration. Yeah. We've missed that. And actually, you've probably watched the highlights back as well. Just hearing Ali Aiken saying Luke Northmore's name as a try.
Yeah, it was.
It takes me back to 21 a bit in that sort of mega season where he bagged quite a few. So that gave me a good feeling of, cool, we're really starting to cook now, aren't we? Just the pointy bit of the season comes, we're starting to cook again and we've got our boys back. But to that point, we were dominant on the stats.
Yeah.
We had 60% of the possession. We had most of the territory, 55%. But I think you can say Northampton were either more dangerous or more clinical, because whilst they were on the negative side of those statistics, they had a lot more entries into our 22. So they must have attacked from deep quite a lot. And I think their first try is a good example of that and how they can score from nowhere. Is it an alarm bell for our defence? I don't know, because I think we're trying things and that always creates spaces. And sometimes if you've got the ball, it benefits you. If you don't, then it harms you. And we like playing that way. And it's even like we said, pitch side as well. Would you rather win 42-41 or 28-0? I'd much rather win 42-41 every day of the week. It's the thrill of the sport.
There's two stats I'm interested in, and I won't go through in too much detail. We had 32 kicks from hand, and Northampton had 18. Usually, I think that would be a little bit closer, but obviously we had to manage periods of the game with 14 men and et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. They also had 55% of the territory. There were two or three moments in the game where they had opportunities to score, and we just sort of, a bit of dogged defence. I think it was after Liner's card as well. You thought 5 metres out, that just had a man put to the bin. You'd probably kick, I mean, we would have always kicked the corner in that situation, but they chose to take points. A couple of moments like that that were interesting to me. But I'm going to pick out two or three standout players from the day. One being Luke Northmore, thought he was excellent. One being Will Porter's impact off the bench. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Thought the captain was excellent all day. I thought Don Brandt was excellent all day. Oh,
let's talk about his offload for Will Porter's first try, by the way.
I know, just a little flick out the back door.
Arrives at the ruck at the same time as him, tells him, no, I'm playing nine. You spread out to the touchline. Picks it up, audacious offload out the back, straight into Porter's bread basket, and he just dives over, and the rest is easy.
And then two more from that. Well, do you know what? I know we do it all the time. I'm going to pick up three or four more, but the two more. I was really impressed with Joe Marler and Simon Kerrid's impact off the bench.
Yeah.
They both got really involved in the game. They both carried hard.
Joe, one of Marler's tackles, by the way.
Joe was out hunting to make a bit of an impact.
That's the best of Joe Marler, and I think that's the best way to use him now. Yeah. And we talked before the game when Dave was interviewing us on the big screen, in case you didn't know, we were on the big screen. And we were asked about the back row, and we talked about Courtney Laws versus Chandler Cunningham South. Is it a changing of the guard moment, handing the baton over? Laws, the best six in the world, in my opinion, retired from England, leaving the Prem. There's a vacant six shirt for England. I think it's Chandler Cunningham South to take. Thought he went pretty well against Laws.
Yeah.
But actually, when you think about Harlequin's team over the past 10 years, there's two positions that you just know the names that are going to be playing in them. It's number one, Joe Marler, and number nine, Danny Kerr. We knew this day would arrive one day. I feel like towards the end of this season / next season, we kind of know that time has now come. Finn Baxter
it's coming.
Number one.
It's coming.
And Will Porter is number nine. And that is by no means the end of Danny and Joe's career, because I think we saw how excellent they were off the bench for England.
Yeah.
And your point there about Joe coming on and hunting, what an impact that man can make in 20 minutes of rugby.
Yeah.
And that can prolong his career. And I'm sure his body will thank him for it.
Yeah, probably.
Also, it will help Finn's career really grow if he's getting more 60 minutes instead of 20 minutes. So I feel like we're in that grey area now where we're still figuring it out, but it won't be long until it's a bit more clear. And I don't know what you do next week for Toulouse. I think Joe off the bench when he's in that mood for the last 20 in Toulouse could be so, so important when you'd like to think we might be in the fight after 60. You bring a man of that experience on. And it's the same for Danny Kerr. 20 minutes to go, you're within a score or even, fingers crossed, touch wood, dare I say it, leading. You need two people to come on and chaperone the team to the finish line. It's got to be those guys, isn't it?
I don't know. I'm not sure. We'll talk about Toulouse in a bit. I need to give myself 5 minutes to think about that. I'm not quite sure, but
can't help it.
It was a pretty special day, wasn't it? And then after the game, Masioki was a good vibe, wasn't it?
Those great, last, and it was pissing down with rain, aggressive rain, heavy rain, miserable rain. But nobody cared. The music was great. I love the Glastonbury style flags.
We need to ask someone in the club if they. We need to. How do we get them to Toulouse? We need to.
I was just going to say, can they go in like a team van that's driving or on the team plane?
We
like,
need to get them in the stands at Toulouse.
That Baxter really. One is excellent.
Yeah, we need to get them out, and I'm sure that's part of the planning as well. We need to take them out on the team plane.
I wonder if they'd be allowed in because they might obstruct people's views.
But no, just before and after, just before the game or half time, whether put them down. Like, you know, like in European football, you see these massive flags. Like
behind the goals.
Well, yeah, I've been to three or four games at the Amex.
Arsenal do it when they score, don't they?
Exactly.
Their fans never used to bring much of an atmosphere, so they had to
fabricate it. I've watched Brighton four times at home this year in the European Cup, and all of the away teams bring these enormous flags, and they're going bananas before the game, setting up the atmosphere. Then during the game, they go down. If you score, they go back up. I think we've got to get them out there. I think they're awesome.
Oh, definitely bring them out, even if it's for that tunnel moment with the flares.
Yeah. Let's park Big Summer Kickoff just there. It was an absolutely incredible day. Thank you so much to Laurie and Chiz for joining us. Thank you again to D. Rogers for being the consummate professional that he is. And thank you to everyone that came to the podcast. It was truly, truly, truly awesome. And we've got another big weekend to look forward to. We're sat here on a Sunday lunchtime, so we've got a couple of games this afternoon. We could do with Newcastle getting their first win on the board and beating Sale. That'd be brilliant. But we are right in the hunt. Before we wrap up the Big Summer Kickoff, let's do some three-word reviews. William, would you like to start us off?
I would. And I'd like to start us off with growing into winners. Win when it's important. I know we've lost a couple, but they haven't seemed to have been that significant so far. Touch wood, they don't become significant.
Couple of really good ones here, and this is an important one. We gave him a little shout out at the end of the podcast as well. Quinn superfan Ewan Laws, struggling with a little bit of viral bronchitis, I think. Wasn't able to make it to the game, but he tweeted us saying, Mr. Cracker. Fingers crossed you're up and about soon, Ewan. Hope to see you back at the Stoop soon. Couple more from me. Cracking day out. Best English Smith. On to Toulouse. Dom Brandt is king. Northmoor is back.
Final weekend shootout. Yeah, it's another good one. It could well be. Next up, Toulouse. On to Toulouse. Northmoor is back. Dom Brandt is king. Saints fans unhappy. Some interesting decisions. Same old Quins. Never in doubt.
Live podcast rocks from Warren Bremner.
I like that one.
Mike says, Ernie's best game. He was taking some names yesterday. Big Ernie.
Yeah, he was. He's been great the last few weeks, actually.
Really good.
Think about the fact that Joe Launchbury's been missing, but we haven't missed him.
And one more I'm going to finish on here. Big win, Quins. Massive win, 5 points. That currently pops us as well, just into fifth.
Unfortunately, Leicester completely popped.
Yeah, that was a shame.
19-0 lead, and Bristol managed to get 4 points, which was a shame because it meant we would have been in the top four. And psychologically, just being in that top four bracket is extremely helpful. But we don't care. We've got two games to do a job.
Yeah, we have. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be unbelievable. Let's look forward to the sunny south of France. We're going back. We're on slightly different flights on the way out, but we're flying home on the same day. You're going out Friday night. You've got a bit more of a long weekend. I'm playing cricket on the Saturday and can't really get out of work on the Friday. So I'm coming out Sunday morning, first thing in the morning. Hopefully we'll have my feet on the ground in Toulouse by about 10:30. Quick pit stop at the hotel and straight out. Who are you picking? Come on, this is tough. Who are you picking?
It is tough, but it's tough because we've got such a great squad. So I'm confident of whoever I say. I'm going Baxter, Walker, Collier. I'm definitely going Steph in the row. I don't know who wins. Ernie's been brilliant. And there was a moment actually where we held up a try on our own line and it was the two South African locks, Steph and Ernie. And that for me was like, oh, that's a duo, isn't it? Those two in the row. So if Launchbury isn't fit, I'd go with Ernie again, I think. I think he's playing his best rugby for Harlequins.
Yeah.
Back row, it picks itself. CCS, Wev and Dommers.
I think this is what's mad. I think we're unchanged. Barring injury, Marcus came off with 10 minutes to go. But he looked like he was moving around after the game okay. He looked like a bit of a stinger more than anything.
So do you mean that? Are you going Danny then or Will Porter?
I'm going Danny. And I said this to you during the week. I thought it was the right decision to pick Danny this weekend just because of the big open space at Twickenham. Just a bit more tactical kicking. Danny's still the best in the business. Wasn't his best game, we know that. But European experience, Danny will play 40, 45, 50 maybe. And then you've got half an hour of Will Porter doing what he did on Saturday. I think you try and rinse and repeat his impact off the bench. I generally think we'd be unchanged. And the bench, I mean, Will Trenholm came into the fold last minute. Tom Lawler didn't make it through the warm-up. We spoke to James Chisholm. He reckons he's going to be back fit. I think I'd like to see Chis on the bench.
Yeah.
Bit of punch for the bench. You know, I'd love like to that. See him back in there.
He's had a tough season. When he's played, particularly at seven, I said this in the live show, I think he's played his best rugby. But if he comes off the bench with a point to prove in a European semi, I think he might implode.
Yeah.
And that's the exact kind of player I want to see James Chisholm be. So,
and he'll be, we spoke to him yesterday, he'll be
hits
absolutely.
Some bodies and carries hard and turnover. I just want it all from him.
He will be champing at the bit to get there, won't he? Absolutely champing at the bit.
He will be champing at the bit. That's
champing
right.
At the bit. But yeah, I think I'd honestly be unchanged. And Jev, I thought off the bench, I mean, he was on the pitch 30 seconds and then ghosted his way through a hole and put Will Porter in. I don't think we're going to change. That I wouldn't anyway. Barring injury, I would rinse and repeat just with Chis on the bench if he's fit. And that is exactly the team I would play again. Maybe if Joe Launchbury was fit, I think I'd have him on the bench again, just for a bit more experience ahead of George Hammond.
Well, this is it, right? I agree. I would have my bench of Marla, Launchbury and Kerr coming on after 60 minutes. And I'd start Will Porter. I think you've got to reward his form. I thought he was unbelievable against Luku when we played Bordeaux. I thought he was brilliant off the bench against Mitchell. He's got a really exciting career
coming. Can he go and take down Dupont?
Give him the chance. Give him the chance.
I'd still go with Danny.
I think Dupont is a young, fit player. Will Porter is a young, fit player. Obviously, Danny Kerr is incredibly fit, but I just think his game is so different to what it used to be. I think if you had prime Danny Kerr against Dupont, it would be an excellent battle. But what is best about Danny Kerr's game now is his strategic management of the game, our field position, his box kicking, and his experience. And I think that is more important in the last 20 minutes than the first 60. And I think if Porter can go toe-to-toe with Dupont, I dare to dream. I dare to dream.
Yeah. I still go Danny from the start and Porter off the bench. I think you try and rinse and repeat this weekend. But look, generally, when we see the team come out lunchtime Friday, whichever name's at 9 or 21, I'm fine with. So.
And so am I.
It's a mark of where we are, isn't it? It's brilliant.
But how lucky are we to be marching into a European semi away in Toulouse? Over 2,000 Quins fans going minimum. That's just the ones we know about.
Yeah.
Get over there. Enjoy your weekend. Let's meet up in the various locations across the weekend. Support the boys. Share stories. Line that tunnel before the game.
We'll be really busy this week. We're going to have some chat with the club about where they're going to be, timings, buses, flares, packing the streets, all that stuff. Quinza will also, of course, do what they do better than any other supporters club in the country. They're going to be out there, you know, organising fan location meetups and places to drink and all that sort of stuff after the game. So keep an eye on our socials this week. We're going to be super, super busy. Sunday cannot come quick enough. And it's going to be absolutely unbelievable. Have a safe trip for all of you that are going in some slightly convoluted directions as well. It just shows how much it means for people to be out there. It's going to be a special day. And look, we're playing for a spot in the European final. And before we leave you, William, sign us off.
Why would you support anybody else?
Have a great weekend, everyone. See you in the south of France. Come on, you Quins.